The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I love your show.
Let me show you what it looks like to be a holy person, and maybe you'll want to be holy like me.
You just patted yourself on the back.
You seem like an honest guy.
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I think you have a way of making people feel relaxed.
She needs to feel the consequences of being a jerk.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
Obviously, I'm a failure. Obviously, I'm inept.
Yes. You are awesome. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Doing my first Catholic Media subliminal radio program. You remember subliminal advertisement, big thing in the 70s, that they could send messages to you, for example, at a movie. The message would be a flash on the screen that you couldn't perceive, but it would stimulate your sensory apparatus. In other words, it would register somehow, some way into your brain, but you weren't aware of it, subliminally. Well, they found out that that really doesn't do anything, but I'm still going to try it here. Subliminally means I send messages to you regarding how to act on this program. Call the phone. And you won't notice it. You won't notice it at all. 877-573-7825. But I will, in fact, try to get you to convince you, call the program, to call in. Ray's great. So therefore, on The Doctor Is In, I'm here waiting for your call. Give a call to Andrew Krucek, and then you will talk to him or Eric Dumont regarding me, and we'll solve your problem. Be good to have you. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal is the number to call to get onto the program. We had a caller call in before the program even. I don't even get here before the program, but he did. Now, it reflects one of two things. He really cares about me and what I have to say, or he's just a desperate, desperate person and is willing to talk to even me if I might have anything to help get him out of trouble. 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal is the number to call to get onto the program. I'm a psychologist. I was at the office this morning, the office tomorrow, and probably the office Thursday, God willing. Coming up this weekend, it'll be a Friday and a Saturday for me. I'll be down in Fredericksburg, Virginia, talking to the National Conference, Immaculate Heart of Mary Homeschool. That's Seton. They have a pretty good-sized conference there. They got, 1,000, 1,500 people, which represents, I think, 72,000 kids. I think. Somewhere there. Average of 7.26 children per mom there. But you're allowed to come. I think it's free. I don't think there's any charge. That's what I'm worth. Nothing. Yeah. And the fact that they're not charging anything, they're not even going to get verbs. I'll just do nothing but nouns, pronouns, adjectives, and maybe a prepositional phrase. Maybe. All right. Before we get calls, I, because it's my show, get to talk. Is anger an emotion? Is it a thought? Is it both? Most people think of anger as an emotional reaction, a buildup, a spontaneous surge, something that just happens. Now, let me digress for a moment because it just struck me. Maybe this is worth its own monologue. Emotions are neither good nor bad, they just are. Well, there's conditional phrases that need to be put on that, because emotions are often fueled by thoughts. And if the thoughts are not good, if the thoughts are uncharitable or nasty or prideful or whatever they are, they're not good. And if the thoughts are associated with the emotion, which is supposedly neither good nor bad, it just is, then you got a problem, because you got a duo there. Let me illustrate the power of thoughts in controlling emotions. You are at a three-sided bus stop, one of those things that the opening there for the bus, but the other two sides are plexiglass, and it's crowded. Lots of folks there. Lots of folks. It's cold. It's the worst kind of weather. It's the 42-degree rain, and it's gusting, and it's windy. Everybody's trying to get into that shelter, pushing toward the back for just to be guarded, sheltered from that icing weather. Bodies are crushed. You already don't like to be that close in space to other people. You feel a jab, a sharp instrument is jabbing your Achilles tendon up toward your calf. Feels like the point of an umbrella. Initially, you think, okay, well, it's just an accident there. Somebody's just trying to reposition their umbrella in this mess of bodies. No, it continues, and it's hurting, hitting you in the same spot. If I were to say to you at that moment, why are you so angry? You would say, because some jamoke is back there jabbing me in the foot, and it hurts. Obviously, a person doesn't know what they're doing, and they're just being thoughtless about this whole thing. And I'm starting to get ticked. Okay. This proceeds for another minute or so. The jabs continue. Well, you can't take it anymore. You're going to turn around. You're not going to turn around. You're going to wheel around. You're going to glare at the person. You're going to find out who it is. You might even say something because the anger is just bursting inside you. Emotion, right? You turn and you find the perp. It is an elderly woman, rather frail looking. She looks to be blind. And the poke that you felt repeatedly was her cane as she was attempting to orient herself in that moving mass of people. It's hard for her. If I were to say to you right then and there, are you still angry? You say no. Where did it go? Well, I saw the reason. I saw why. Wait a minute. 3 minutes ago when I asked you, why are you angry? You said because somebody's poking me in the foot. You're still getting poked in the foot, but you're not angry anymore? No. Why? I changed my interpretation of the situation. Initially, I thought it was somebody just careless, thoughtless, maybe even mean-spirited. I turned around, and I saw that was not the case at all. It was someone who really couldn't help herself. So let me see if I got this right. Your perception of the situation radically changed within a second. Yes. Did you have to turn around and think to yourself, ha ha, lady, you're just lucky. You're just lucky you can't see what you're doing, because I'll tell you what, otherwise, did you have to do that? No. What happened to your anger? It went away. How fast did it go away? Oh, as soon as I turned around. Wait a minute. You're telling me that your perception of the situation altered your emotion instantly? I guess so. Thank you. You'll make a good monologue. Our anger is very, very much controlled by how we interpret the situation, how we interpret the motive of the individual. doing or saying whatever toward us. Question you need to ask yourself. Be your own therapist. When you feel yourself surging in frustration, irritation, agitation, erupting, ready, in anger, ask yourself a question. What thoughts are going through my head right now? How am I interpreting this that is fueling my emotion? Because I will tell you, most of the time, how we interpret something does fuel the emotion. Conversely, you can think in ways that will dampen the emotion. But since it's almost 12 minutes after the hour, you'll have to wait for a future monologue on that one. Let's just leave it at this right now. Always attempt to put inside your psyche and think all about what you're telling yourself about people and situations. They're creating this state of emotion that you think is just automatic to the situation. Just like being poked in the heel was automatic to your anger, it wasn't. When the perception changed, when the interpretation changed, the emotion changed. 877-573-7825.
Don't let everyone else get all the great advice. Call now to speak with Dr. Ray. EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road. Stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for joining me on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray, in its eighth season on the EWTN Global Catholic Television Network, air times, Saturday 10 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday 9 a.m. Eastern, and what I call the 9-year-old kid who can't catch a ball, stuck in right field in Little League, broadcast time, 5 a.m. in the morning on Fridays Eastern Time, which is 2 a.m. in the morning in the Pacific Time, which means, hey, Ray, we're just going to put you over here. I don't know how many people be watching time, but if the ball comes to you, just let the center fielder run over and get it. Let's go to Dave, New York. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Appreciate the call. Appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. Hey, by the way, Now, New York, are you in the Station of the Cross area? Is that where you're calling from?
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't caught it on the radio. I've been listening to your podcast. I saw you on EWTN on TV, and then I found your podcast.
Well, you know, just an aside here, if you want to come and be in the TV audience, we plan to be filming in Buffalo in August. I'll have particulars on the exact dates, but we love to have a big audience. So we'll put it on Facebook, we'll put it on the website, and I'll announce it multiple times here. But I just was getting in my first pitch.
Great.
What can I do to help you, Dave?
Well, I got a couple of questions. One would be, how do you deal with blackout when there's commitments and schedules to other people, like dance practice before a recital and that type of thing? We've actually had her miss a birthday once and then felt bad about it for the other child, but we kind of
why did the other child? Hey, Dave, why did the other child have to miss it?
Now, they were there for their own birthday, but she couldn't make it.
Okay. On activities, I think blackout is particularly powerful. Now, for those who do not know what blackout is basically a very strong discipline response. I usually suggest to parents that if a child defies their original consequence, let's say you say, go to the corner, go to your room, give me an essay, and the child refuses. Child argues and child won't. Blackout is complete cessation of all perks and privileges. Dave's question is, well, how does that work when the kid's on a team or the kid has particular lessons or we're going to go out to eat? How does all that work? Blackout, Dave, is particularly effective if there are activities involved. For example, if one of your children is on blackout and you go out to eat, well, order. Of course not. They can make a sandwich before they go. You're not going to starve them. But eating out at a restaurant is a privilege. You're just going to sit there. Or let's say that there's something going on at church. Okay? Maybe it's some sort of fun activity. Well, a child sits at the table with you and watches. They haven't written their essay yet. Or they haven't served their time yet. Or they say, I want to stand in the corner, Dad, but I don't want to stand here because everybody, baby, and I'll feel really, really dumb. Well, let's figure out what we can do. How about 50 sentences and then you can be free? So any recreational activity you go to, like swimming. Let's say you're going to go swimming. Well, you're not going in. You're not swimming. Not until I am satisfied that you have cooperated in giving me the consequence that I've asked of you, whatever that might be. Now, let's say it's a team. Let's say it's something where other people are going to be affected. As the parent, you make that call. I've had parents say, nope, the game is off for you. You're gone there and you're going to sit on the bench and you're going to cheer your teammates on, but no, you can't play. Yeah. You're not playing. Or you can say, I don't know, it's the playoffs, my kid's the shortstop, he bats third. I don't want to let the other kids down. This is important to them. Okay, for this one, I'm going to let them. You have the flexibility.
Yeah.
Dave, the key is that your authority is quietly intact. And when you have authority, you can be flexible.
Right.
You don't have to be flat out bureaucratically rigid about the whole thing. You can say, all right, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to let you play the game. But you know, as soon as that game's over, when the coach brings everybody out for milkshakes, you understand, son, you're not getting one because you're still on blackout.
Yep.
Kind of thing.
Well, we've done that with her lesson a couple of times where, you know, her behavior was very bad and she enjoys her music. And so we had her, I didn't want to cancel, but so we had her pay for the lesson. We figured, hey, she'll see what
That's
we're paying
good.
Out every week for this too.
Sure.
But then my wife, after that happened once or twice, she's like, she's not going to keep paying. She's just going to say, I'm going to quit. And she doesn't want her to quit because it's a good activity. There's good kids involved. And, you know, so
well,
then
okay,
I feel like, you know.
You can reach some kind of compromise on that. You can say, all right, she doesn't have to pay, but she misses the lesson. I mean, that's the bottom line there.
Yeah.
Or no, I don't want her to miss the lesson. That's the one thing I'm not going to include in blackout.
Right. Okay.
You can do that. Sure. It's all, so much of it is your coming across confident to your children in saying, hey, guys, you know, this is what I'm going to do here. Yes, I will permit this because I, in my judgment, this particular activity or pursuit is an exception. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the stuff is still
in place.
She learns
real quick, though, and she starts to know, like, well, you can't do this because I have a lesson. Or, you know.
Well, that's okay. But that's okay, Dave, because all she's getting is her lesson. She's not getting anything else.
Right.
You know, blackout includes dessert. I mean, she's down to eat, and here comes the cake. Well, you're still on blackout.
How do I get off blackout?
Well, you do what we asked you to do. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for the call.
All right. The other question, quickly?
Yeah, go ahead. All right.
It's a plug for your book, too. I know you're talking about writing a book. And I'm going to encourage you to keep writing faster because my daughter is going to be entering junior high, and the pressure is on for a phone, and my wife's starting to cave, and I need some ammo.
Right. Sitting in front of me, I am editing chapter 5. Okay. What is it? Let me see the title of this chapter. I was doing it right before the show. It's called Phone Smart as opposed to Smartphone. And there's a line here. I said, wait a minute. I'll find this for you. As always, the main consideration in granting any freedom is not age. It is trustworthiness. What's more, it is not trustworthiness relative to one's peers. At age 11, Gideon may be more mature than 90% of kids his age. He's still 11. And I said, your first cell call, delay. Do not give a phone because you feel the pressure. You want my opinion? 13 is years too young to have a smartphone. Years.
You said 16?
13.
Oh, 13. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Even 16 is questionable. Really is.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, children, they will never consider a flip phone. Or a phone with limited 20 minutes. No. When we're talking phone here, Pop, we're talking the latest, greatest. iPhone 62. And
yeah,
the other thing
into
is this.
The flip phone.
Yeah, and you can.
The flip phone, but there's no way to track the text and all that with that.
Yeah. Well, you can get all kinds of parental safeguards on any phone. You really can. You can pair it up with your own phone. You can. But here's the catch. More than half of parents don't have any safeguards on phones or computers.
Yeah.
That's
which is
just
great for the
flat
bus rides.
It's insanity. Thank you, Dave. I'll talk to you.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Okay, I went all the way to the break. Sorry about that. When we come back, we got Cindy, we got Todd, and Jan. Jan just, she couldn't wait. She emailed me. She had a request about something, and then she went away. That happens a lot. You know, there's a certain psychology to hanging on the phone. Some folks will stay the whole show. Some folks, if they call and you don't go to them immediately, they're gone. Now, some of it, most calls come in from cell phones. So you have reception problems or you have people in a car and they have reached their destination and they've gotten out. Some folks feel that Andrew Krucek or Eric Dumont has answered their question much more completely and deeply than I could. I hate to think that's the reason, but according to my producer man and my call screamer, that's probably the main reason. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get onto the program to talk. I would be delighted if you would.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5. Is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I, you know, made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction. But they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, you know, from Mom and Dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, oh, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make your up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly, affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What constitutes hope? The Catholic Catechism tells us when God fully reveals himself and calls man, man cannot respond on his own. He must hope that God will give him the capacity to love and respond and act in conformity with the commandment of charity. Hope confidently expects divine blessing and the beatific vision of God while fearing to offend him and incur punishment. Despair is a sin against hope, because when a man despairs, he ceases to hope for his eternal salvation, which denies God's goodness, justice, and mercy. The sin of presumption, on the other hand, assumes God will give you forgiveness without conversion and glory without merit, or presumes that man can win his salvation with no supernatural assistance. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
If there's a certain calculatedness to the music Andrew Krucek selects, when he thinks that I've gotten a little bit fired up, he will immediately play something calming like this. If he thinks I'm becoming rather apathetic and slack, which happens like once every 2 to 3 years, he will then play something that's hard driving. But he just figured, okay, tone it down, Ray. Tone it down. Cindy from Bismarck, North Dakota, Real Presence Radio. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
I really was preparing. I was preparing heavily for this call. Did you know that? Yeah, I was in anticipation of this situation and decided I'd better brace myself and decide how I'm going to do about it. What's up, Cindy?
Well, that's my question. Yeah, that's exactly my question. And are there strategies in doing so, in preparing?
The psychologists don't like what-ifs. Typically, Cindy, when they talk about what-ifs, they're talking about, what are you doing, what are you thinking to make yourself nervous about what's coming up? Well, what if she says this? Or what if I really look stupid? Or what if I can't handle the situation? Or what if... So they find that if you surround your mind with what ifs, you're going to create a lot of distress in anticipation. But I think there's a positive side to what ifs. The problem solving side. If you know that you're heading into a situation that you've had experience with before, this is not something that is brand new. You know the person who's going to be involved in this situation. You've had a lot of experience with them. Or it's a situation that, as you anticipate it, it's a little threatening. They're gonna give me a review of my work performance. Or boss over at Ave says, yeah, Ray, call me immediately. I want to talk to you about something you said on your last show. And I would suspect, well, he's not going to say, it was such a wonderful thing you said, I just wanted to tell you. So I anticipate. I think it is brilliant to ponder how you will best respond to something like that. What if I hear something I don't want to hear? What am I going to do? Am I going to defend myself? Am I going to ask more questions to elaborate? What if, for example, I had a friend call me recently, and she was a little nervous about an upcoming funeral because she was going to deal with a very, very difficult relative. And she was concerned that this relative would make a scene at the funeral. Okay. Let's ponder this. What will you do if she starts? What will you do if she says something, if she antagonizes? What is your response? Are you ready? Do you know what you're going to do? Don't wait for the situation to show up and then react. Ponder it. Now, I gave her advice. I said, just stare at her. I said, if she says something really snarky, just kind of look at her like, I don't understand. Why are you saying that? Be prepared for what could confront you is always smart. Always. The problem is, we have a tendency to drift into the bad kind of what ifs. What if she says that? What if she, that'll so upset me. I don't know if I could deal with that. I don't know. Maybe I should just stay away from her. No. Problem solve here. What are you gonna do? If in fact she says that. You know, I look at these questions and I think to myself, what am I gonna do if I can't answer it? Well, that's simple. I just tell Andrew not to take it. You know? That's easy enough. That's my strategy. Cindy, I got nothing coming up in North Dakota. I don't know what's with those people up there. There's probably all kinds of emotional struggles up there by now. And I figured this way, I better get there before July, because your winter starts about July 20th, doesn't it?
It's true, yes.
Thanks for the call, as always, Cindy.
Okay.
Alrighty, dear.
Thanks, Dr.
Bye. Todd, Columbus, Ohio. That's St. Gabriel Radio Turf. Hello, Todd. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, buddy. What's up?
I'm calling in regards to my dad. He's listening at home, and he's Catholic. He goes to Mass on a regular basis, prays, but he doesn't have any major health problems, but he's extremely concerned that there's something wrong with him. He's always taking his blood pressure, going to doctor appointment after doctor appointment, and they assure him every time that he's fine, but he just can't stop worrying. And he just can't stop worrying about a potential health problem. And I was wondering if you had any advice for him.
I don't think he's worrying about a health problem, Todd. I think he's worrying about dying. And by that, I mean, how old is your dad?
He's in his early 60s.
Okay, so he's not old, right? He's not 87. Okay.
Right.
But I would wonder, I'd ask him, I'd say, hey, Dad, what do you think it means if you have something at your age not work perfectly right, if your blood pressure goes up, or maybe you have heart palpitations, or perhaps pre-diabetic? What do you think that means? Is he afraid of, I will lose vigorousness? I will become more frail? I will be a burden to my son Todd? I'm not ready to die? What is Dad saying to himself about all this? If he is a Christian man, and if he has faith in our Lord's promises, then at some level, it's like St. Paul says, we're not like the people who have no hope. At some level, no matter what happens, and it's going to happen to all of us, that's the reality, we look beyond. Dad, have you stopped looking beyond? Have you stopped thinking about this is a journey here to our final place? I wonder, because typically it sounds like he's exaggerating the meaning of health matters. The reality is, stuff goes wrong. It's like Paul Harvey says, there's a lot of firsts as you get older. Stuff goes wrong. I can't do anything like I used to do it. And I have different things that are perplexing me that didn't used to 30 years ago. Okay. How do I put meaning to all that? Well, one of my meanings is I'm getting older. That's the reality. Another one of my meanings is hopefully I'm getting closer to meeting Christ. I can't say for sure, that'd be presumption, but I can have hope in his promises. I really would want to know why your dad is so caught up, because there's no question in my mind he's over-interpreting the stuff that's happening. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I would very much like to talk to you. Don't make me go subliminal. You know what I mean? Call 877-573-7825.
Stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
I tell oftentimes an experience that I had at Divine Child when I was a young priest, 1 year ordained. First time I ever really saw the power of the Blessed Sacrament. And we simply exposed the Blessed Sacrament at the end of Mass one night. I encouraged people. I said, you know what, we've been in the habit of praying over people after Mass. I said, we're not going to do that this week. I'm just going to invite people to come on up and pray if they want to pray. And I put the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. I kneeled down. As I kneeled down, the church is in the sanctuary, the whole church. And as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the people there, and I'm looking at Jesus under the appearance of bread there, I saw the Lord standing on the altar. And he's just standing there looking out at all the people. And then at a certain point, he turned towards me, and he just bowed. And he says, don't you see how easy this is? You don't have to do anything. You just have to put me out. You put me out, and I will work.
It's practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, a Catholic media graduate of the School of Articulation, and I mean, you know, stuff, all of that. 877-573-7825. Let's go to Darren, who is a sophomore at OU. Hi, Darren.
Hi, how are you, Dr. Ray?
Hey, I just got one question here for you, buddy.
What's
how
that?
How come you're not studying? If you have time to call me, you're taking it away from your books.
Well, actually, it's the summertime, so I'm not. I don't have anything to study for at the present moment.
Okay, question for you. Were you homeschooled?
No, I was not. I went to a private Christian academy.
And this is why I asked, because you said actually. Homeschoolers, I think, as part of their education, have to use the word actually. And as soon as you used it, I thought that. So you see, I was wrong. This is the first time I've been wrong on this program. Well, probably since 2011, I think it was the last time we made a note of it. What's going on there, buddy? Yeah. What are you calling for?
Well, you know, Dr. Ray, I'm calling in because I love your show. I love EWTN. I'm a practicing fervent Catholic. I try to be as fervent as I can be. I'm just in that phase, you know, in college where you're transitioning between childhood and adulthood, and you're eager to start life, but you're stressed because you're overwhelmed with college responsibilities and classes. And I find myself very stressed and overwhelmed with classes quite often, and just wanted to get some advice on what you recommend from a Catholic perspective on how to deal with school stress.
How important are you making all this?
Well, I mean, it is an important stage in life.
Well, it is. But is it important enough to be miserable about?
I try not to be miserable about it.
Let us say that you'd have to drop a class.
Uh-huh.
Let us say that you'd get a C in a class.
Uh-huh.
Does the thought of that terribly distress you?
I mean, yes, it does. I was always a very, very top-notch student in school and high school, and so my family has very high expectations for what kind of grades I could get, I should get, and I'm one of the first people in my family to go to college, so there's just a lot of expectations for me.
You know, I was a little offended, Darren, because when you called, you didn't ask my grade point in college. Do you not care?
Never thought to ask.
Oh, gosh. You know, as a matter of fact, I don't know of anybody who's ever asked in my whole life. Gosh. Jeez, all the interviews I've had, Catholic Radio, they didn't say, what was your grade point in college? I'll be darn. You see, my friend, what I'm saying here is that when you get yourself distressed enough that you can't enjoy this phase of your life, wouldn't it be awful if I got a C? Wouldn't it be awful if I didn't graduate in 4 years and it took me 4.5? Oh, wouldn't that be so terrible?
Uh-huh.
When you do that to yourself, my friend, the natural reaction is going to be anxiety.
Yeah.
You're, what, 20 years old?
Yep.
You are in prime youth. You're healthy, smart, you look good, all of this stuff. And you're creating distress for yourself about this time of your life that should be a pretty nice phase. I loved college.
Uh-huh.
I remember my freshman year, second semester, I was in engineering. First physics departmental exam, I got a 92. Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm smart. All right. You know what I got in my second one? You know what I got in my second one? 31. 31. You can't pull out of a 31. I had to drop the course. I pulled out of engineering, and I went into psychology. Now, what I'm saying to you is, you got to turn your mind toward the fact that whatever happens, you're going to do fine with it. You'll work through it. So you only had to take 11 hours that semester because you had to drop a course. All right. Ooh, isn't that awful and terrible? You really got to start looking at it that way. You got to say to yourself, what's the worst that could happen here? Oh, I could get a bad grade. Or I could have to drop the course. Well, that's terrible, isn't it? Is it worth it? Being miserable? Nah, it ain't, buddy. At my age, I'm finding less and less stuff worth being miserable about. It ain't, you know what? It's not college that's doing this to you. You know that, Darren. It's your head.
Mm-hmm.
It's your head, buddy. So that's what I can offer you. Say to yourself when you get yourself all distressed, what is the worst thing that can happen? You know what the worst thing that can happen is? You could stink the joint out. That's the worst thing that could happen. Okay,
yeah.
So you'll survive it. You know, tomorrow, if they tell me, Ray, we've just decided you don't belong on Catholic Radio, I'd say, gee, that's a major disappointment. I wouldn't want that. But then in the morning, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to mow my lawn, and I'm going to have my coffee, and I'm going to move on.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Take good care of my friend. You sound like a good kid. I can't know that. You could be a major jerk, but you certainly sound good enough. You certainly sound good enough in these first couple of minutes on the phone. God bless you, Darren. Call anytime, buddy. Thank you. This is Dr. A, 877-573-7825.
The EWTN home video highlight for May is the story of Father John Sullivan. A Protestant born into a life of privilege, he left everything to follow God's call to become a Catholic priest and serve the poor and afflicted. And the faithful were blessed with countless miracles. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or call 1-800-854-6316.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999. Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Now, on the Ave Maria radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
I was caught in a lie. Only partially. Partially a lie. Let me set this call up. I am going to be skewered. This call is going to mow me over. But I will not let the grass grow under my feet. When we had the 10 children at home, we got a lot of grief. Get your kids a riding mower. You have an acre yard. 250 feet from your patio to the end of your property in the back. In the front, 100 feet. Get the kids a riding mower. They never had a riding mower. Wouldn't do it. Wanted them to walk. Well, after they've all gone, it's my wife and I. Well, Kathy is here. I don't know how she knows this. I'm nervous about this. Kathy, are you there?
Yes. Yes, Dr. Ray, I'm here.
How do you know this? How do you know what you know?
Well, because every time I visit my sister, I see your wife out there mowing your lawn.
This makes me sound really bad.
I heard she washes the cars, too.
I had her repairing the roof, the second story of the roof. There were some loose shingles. I had her doing that. And then also, yeah. She had to haul my barbells up to the attic. I had her do that. Well, here's the thing. Okay, here is the back story. My wife says she doesn't like mowing the backyard. I mow the front. She mows the back. She says that she likes the exercise. It takes about an hour and a half. It's probably about a 3 to 4 mile walk. And she says that's what she wants. And I said, honey, do you want a riding mower? She said, no. She said, I want to walk it. She goes, I pray. She levitates a little bit while she mows, which is really kind of impressive, you know what I mean? I look back there, and she's levitating behind the mower, and I say, hey, your lines are crooked. It's a good thing. See, that's why I mow the front and you mow the back. You got crooked lines like that. Well, you're absolutely right, and I hope she's listening because the people, you know, Kathy, you know that allotment right behind us?
Yes.
Okay, those lawns are about a third of an acre, if that. If that.
Right.
Every single one of them has a riding mower. Every single one.
We've become a very lazy society.
Oh, for heaven's sake. And my wife, poor wife, she's back there and she's mowing. And when you mow, well, let's see, behind there is probably about two-thirds of an acre. When you mow two-thirds of an acre, it seems like you just walk back and forth forever, right? You're just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I know those people in those houses behind us are looking at her going, what is this? She ought to sue him. What, this guy got to be a major league jerk to let his wife. But I will tell you this, though, Kathy. I'm going to tell you this.
Okay.
In defense of me, I do weed eat the patio.
Oh, you do?
Yes. She doesn't know how to weed eat. She doesn't know how to do it.
Well, you are married to a mighty woman. And since she doesn't have those 10 kids at home anymore, she needs something to do, right?
My thoughts exactly. That's exactly what I've been thinking. I'm glad that you understand this.
Well, you know, my sister has a bad back. She could keep going, you know, over to the neighbor's lawn.
Did your sister tell you how many times I mowed her lawn last year?
No.
That's right. It's exactly right. When she had all those leaves that were blowing into our yard, and I went over and I had to clean them up. I know it. I'm taking care of your poor sister, too. I'm going to have my wife start mowing your sister's lawn instead of me. Thanks,
no,
Kathy.
No, don't do that. You're welcome. Have a great day, Dr. Ray.
I'll tell my wife you called to tattle on me. Thank you.
Okay.
See ya. It's all a lie. It's a lie. Actually, I went away from the microphone there for a second. I was straightening up in my chair and turned away from the mic. I don't have time for another call. So this is what you do when you have like 2 minutes before the show ends. I shouldn't say like. That's awful. When you have like, sound like a teenage girl, 14-year-old teenage girl. When you have like 2 minutes before the show. Have you ever noticed like is awful in our culture? The people who are pundits, who are hosts, who are interviewers, who are anchors, when they are not on their teleprompter, I can't believe, first of all, they get paid hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars per year. And I don't want to count the number of likes, I means, okays, looks, listen, let me ask you a question, per show. It stuns me. These are quote-unquote professionals. They are supposed to be articulate and stuff. Now, when I listen to this program or I watch the TV show, I notice I do that too. It happens. It creeps in. It's like osmosis. See, I use like there, but that's okay because I was drawing a simile. It is tantamount to osmosis. It happens. You start to sound like the language that surrounds you. Back 20 years ago, 25 years ago, Valley Girls, that stereotype of the California Valley girl who like, I mean, you know, like talk like this and like, I mean, I was like so excited because like, I mean, there was just, oh, like, and so she said like, people used to look at that as inarticulate. The Valley Girls won. They have fused our language. Not just among kids. Grown-ups. I've discovered that the word like is a comma. So then she said like. There'd be a comma there if you were writing it out. But the like becomes a comma. So then I like said back like. And so there was no way. I was like, this is crazy. And she was like, I know. And so then I said, like, no way that I'm going to do that. And she says, like, I know. I agree with you. They won. The Valley Girls won. So, like, I got to take a break here now. And, like, I got to leave the show. And, like, I really, really got to go. And, like, I really want to thank Andrew. And I want to thank Eric. But that might be Melissa there. Is that Melissa back there? I don't know who was co-screening. But, like, I mean, like, I got to go. So hold your children really tight by the hand, like, I mean, you know, and, like, walk with God. Like, see ya.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.